today. You heard it's Palm Sunday. It is truly is a great day, and thanks for the display here. And Kelly did a beautiful job, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And I would typically preach a Palm Sunday message today, but I felt like because of where we are in this journey we're taking, that it would be a little more fitting for us if we would just kind of take a sidestep today. And of course, next Sunday we're gonna preach the resurrection, right, in the hope of Christ. Hope Christ is the hope of the world. We're gonna do all that, so don't fear. But today I want to take a little different approach, and I want us to use an old story out of Joshua chapter 3, and it's a story. I'm gonna read it out of the scriptures today. So if you want to follow along, feel free to do that. Your phone, your Bible. I won't have it on the screen today. I don't want us to get lost in slides, which can happen. It's a little bit longer than what we might normally read on a Sunday morning, but you know, I mean, it'll only take about a half hour, and we'll get through it. You know, before you know it, I mean, we'll be there. And if you believe that, then you still got to get to know me, right? So as we're going here, let me just tell you where we're at in the story. It's Israel's story, and Israel has come to a place where they are no longer under Moses' leadership, because Moses has passed away, and now Joshua is leading them. And God has said, I have this promise for you. And so they're now to the Jordan River, and they've got to take the next step. But there they are. They're at the Jordan River, and we want to see what's going to happen next. So that's where we find ourselves. Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Let me read this text for us this morning. Read some of their story. Everybody likes a story, right? So here we go. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. Man. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that's the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Man, what a story. I like this story for us because it fits well with my story and your story. And so I want us to see that today as we think about what God is doing, that there's this new chapter that's opening up in our lives as a church, individually, and I want us to just really just praise God for that, right? I mean, praise God. I mean, you think of Palm Sunday, that's God saying, I'm opening up a new chapter, and I'm accepting, I'm owning this identity as the Messiah, right? As the Lord of God's people, of his nation, of his kingdom, and they're praising him for this, and God's opening up a new chapter here too. I really believe it. And so let me speak to that today if I may, okay? All right, so you ready for this? Let's jump in that story for a moment, for a couple moments, okay? And see what it says to us. Kind of set the stage for when we take this and we turn it inward. So where we're at is that God has been leading Israel to the promised land. So they've wandered through the wilderness. Moses died, Joshua's their leader, and here they are. They have they've reached the Jordan River, and we heard it's at flood stage because during the harvest season, and they know they've got to go, take down Jericho, and this is going to be crazy, and they're not so sure they can really do that, but here they are. And God has said, my intent for you is that you would go into this land, you go to this place, and I want you to enjoy the blessings of living a life in covenant with me that I have created and I've called you to live. I want you to have this. This is my intent for you people. But they stand there. Jericho is tall walls. The Jordan is flooded and there's a barrier. How is this going to happen? How do we get across this? Well, God, as he usually does, says, dude, I got it. I don't think he says, dude. That's in a different version of the Bible. But anyways, he's like, I got this. And so my solution is I am going to heap up the water so you can walk right on through on dry ground. Like, I can take care of this, right? You don't see it, but I see it. And so I got you. I got your back. No worries, all right? It's all good. But like God always does, he says, I can solve the problem, but here's the deal. You got to choose to respond by faith. I'm not going to take that out of your court. You've got to say, God, I believe, and I choose to step. And it'll be dry ground where I take that step, even if I don't see it right now, okay? So they've got to respond. And if they will respond by faith, the lesson to be learned for them is simply that they will see, you know what? Man, God has got our back. If we will believe and we'll be obedient and we'll follow God, God will bring blessings upon us as people. He'll do what he said he'll do because he's a faithful God. So you know what? All right. Praise the Lord. Pass the chicken. Let's go. Let's get on it. Right? And so there they go across. Now let me talk about my story for a moment. If you were here last Sunday, I told you I was going to share some of my story, and so let me take some moment to do that today. Several years ago, God called my wife and I to go pastor at a church in mid-Michigan, right? So somewhere in the middle of the state, right, where we were at. And while we were there, going there, let me say it this way, we felt and we believed, and we still do to this day, that that's where God needed us to be. That's where he wanted and desired us to go, right? His intent was that, hey, look, I've called you into ministry. I want you to go be a blessing to people in my name. I want you to help the church grow in faith. I want you to lead them to love people well, and I want you to lead them to make disciples, right? Faith, love, and on a mission of making disciples. I want you to go do this. And so as I was coming into the church, I came in under the assumption that this is what they wanted to do. And the way I wanted to go about that, which I felt reflected the heart of the gospel, was it. And there's some changes that the people that brought me in said, we want you to make, these are changes we need to make. Well, you know, I got there, and as we got into the journey, I discovered that the folks that wanted the changes that they recognized need to be made were really just in this small body of people in a church of 250 people. The larger body of the church and a lot of the lay influencers and lay leaders in the congregation really didn't want to make those changes. And so to be just totally transparent with you, I was like I was standing at this place where I'm trapped. Because I feel like I'm supposed to be doing one thing, and I don't have the opportunity to do that now. But I feel like God's called me to be here, so I can't go. There's a river standing right in front of me. It's like, what do I do now? The wall's too tall. I can't get over this wall because they don't want to change, and I don't want to change because I believe this is who God has called me to be, and I've got to honor God by faith and carry this out the way I believe in my gut is the way it's supposed to be. Not that their way was wrong, but my way was right, you know, because we got to be careful, you know, my way or the highway, you know. It's like, hold on, time out. Let's not go there. But I've got to, by faith, do what I believe is right and honor God with my life. Because if I don't, then that's sin for me. So I'm sitting there going, well, what do I do now? I'm sitting in my office one day, and a person in the congregation calls me up and says, hey, you got a minute I can stop by and visit with you? And I said, sure. As if you called and said, hey, pastor, you got a minute? Can I stop by and chat with you? You know what my answer is going to be to you? Unless I'm in the hospital or somebody's dying or something like that, sure, come on. So this person came in and began to unveil a list of reasons on a piece of paper of why I was not a good pastor for that church. I'm serious, right? In love. Yeah, of course, in love. In all fairness, let me just, transparent with you, okay, that truthfully, it was done in a peaceful way. It wasn't in a, it really wasn't any of that. And tears were shed, and we prayed together. But at the heart of it was simply, it was a parent sort of chiding their child, anyways. And so I thought, okay, that was not pleasant. Come on, you get it, right? So here's the deal, though. I've been praying, and Leslie and I have been praying, and just waiting, and just sort of sitting in the moment, which is hard when you sit in a moment you don't want to be in, but yet you're sitting there, and you're just waiting, right? And so we're sitting in that moment, and then it hit me. God, it seems to me that you have chosen to use a conflict to be a solution for what you desire us to do moving forward and for where they want to go. That's an odd solution. But it sure feels like that's exactly what you've done. And what I came to realize was that, okay, now, as hard as this would be, because look, I didn't have another church to go to. I had no other job lined up. God, okay, if we're going to do this, if we're going to step out of this and wish them well, and hopefully they'll wish us well, you're going to have to provide a way on this, okay? So because I don't know. I tried to pastor, interview a couple churches and start the process, and then I stopped. And I was like, I'm just not in a place to do this. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. So he said, well, the only thing that we know we can do right now is the next step is to move back to Evansville, be with our family, take time to do some healing, finish up my Master of Divinity, which I graduate at the end of April. Praise God. And I know, right? And so let's just see what God wants to do. Like, I don't know, but let's just trust him to provide for us, for our family, and let's just try to figure it out on the go. I don't know if the next step's going to be dry, but I think it will be. And so let's just try to take that step and see what happens. And so we came, and we experienced God provide for us through family. And he opened up the door for us to be able to come and to minister here, which, by the way, is a 15-year-in-the-making answer to prayer. I want you to know this. Ever since I started into ministry, the desire of my heart had been to be able to pastor in the area of my hometown, right? Evansville, Newburgh kind of area, right? Somewhere in there. That God would open a door for that to happen. But we wanted to be obedient. God, you want to do something else? We'll do something else. We'll go. You want to go to the frozen tundra mission land of Michigan? I mean, like, we can do that. We trust you, I mean, we'd prefer, like, South Florida. But, if that's what you want, okay, we'll do it. And we went. And it was truly, I jest, but it was one of the most just fertile time for me to grow in ministry and to grow in faith. It really was a great season, right, at large. Praise God for that. And so here we are. And I'm going, God, I've been praying for this for 15 years and waiting to see if just maybe you would open a door for this. And when I was standing at a barrier, knowing God wanted something more, waiting, trusting, praying, seeking his face, enduring whatever would come right to pass, if you will, as I serve the Lord, God blessed. God opened up a door, opened a new chapter in our story to come and join you in this chapter in your story. Now, let me tell you where I think we're at in this story. I feel like we're taking that first step into the river, right? Right there. That you've seen what you were going through, right? And you went through and you're like, oh God, what are you gonna do? Like, when is this, right? Okay, and so now we're at this place where the presence of God, right? So the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God is there in the river with us. The presence and the holy power of God is here. And he's saying, I invite you by faith, would you respond and move forward? And enjoy the blessings of walking and living as a church in covenant with me, who will grow in the Word of God and share the Word of God with the people that are in your community and neighborhoods all around, and work and family and wherever you go. if you'll walk in this and balance the two, I will bless you. Because this is what I've created you for. Not that it didn't happen in the past. I'm just saying right now, it seems like this is what God is laying before us. And so what will we do with that? And what lesson will we learn from that? But maybe you're sitting here and you're listening to me and you go, "Woo, Pastor, that's great for the church." But let me tell you what, that's not where I see myself in this story. I see myself looking at the river as the barrier and going, "Hello, God, please." And there's that can be all sorts of things, right? I mean, it can be financial. It can be in a relationship. I mean, it could be like your work. It could be all sorts of things. And one of the things that it could be that is for a lot of people, and it's the one I want to just spend a little bit of time on, is what I would call, what we call a false narrative. It's a false story. It's a lie that we believe to be true, even though it's not. Those false narratives can be something like this. You're not good enough. If you were, let's say, a better parent, your kids would behave better. If you were a better employee at work, you get that raise. You get that promotion. If you worked harder, they'll give it to you. If you had more faith, God would answer your prayers more often. Woo-wee. If your life was cleaned up more, God would love you more. I can tell you, I have sat in a church in chairs next to a couple who told me that very story that they believed about their lives. I'm not making this up. This is true stuff. People believe that if their life was cleaned up more, God would love them more. If I was a better person, God would love me more. Somebody's told them that. They've read it. They've heard it. The thought entered their mind. They embraced it. They believed it was real. Hook, line, and sinker. They ingested it, and they've incorporated it into the DNA of who they see themselves as a person. And it's absolutely 100% a lie. They've believed a lie and thought it was true. That's the barrier that they have standing in front of them. And they've allowed that. They've put that barrier there themselves. They allowed themselves to believe that story. Now, we could dig into that, and we could talk all around that, and I'm not going to do that today. I simply just want us to acknowledge that some of the folks, maybe you, but even some of the folks that you have the opportunity to share God's message with, His love with, are living every day believing a lie about what's true about them. And they need so desperately to hear, no, that's not the truth. The truth is that God loves you. The truth is that by His grace, you're amazing. The truth is it doesn't matter what other people believe about you and tell you about yourself. What matters is that God loves you. And by His grace, you are truly phenomenal. You're created in His image. You are valuable, even if you don't think you have any value. I respect you because of that. Even if you don't feel like somebody else respects you, I'm going to tell you what, you are respectable. Because God's made you to reflect His image in the world. And I'm telling you what, if there's anything, there isn't. I don't think there's anything else that gives us more value than that truth right there. So, the challenge with barriers, though, is that when we look at them with our eyes, we unfortunately, we create a moment where fear will overwhelm us. We can begin to believe that the walls are too tall and the waters are too deep. It's too chaotic. We can't change, right? It can't get any better than this. We can easily begin to lose sight of the truth that God is a barrier breaker, right? God's a barrier breaker. He can remove barriers, things that He wants removed for His glory so that He's exalted in the world. He can take care of those things. It's us too often that believe a lie that says, no, God can't handle that. No, says who? It surely is not God. Absolutely can. I mean, that cross in our sanctuary says, oh yeah, I get it. By the way, we're going to come back to that. When we just look at our barriers with our eyes, I find, too, that we can get distracted from the truth of God's promises, that He has blessings for us if we'll trust Him. And it seems to be that then that's when anxiety likes to do its dirty work. And we can get so wrapped up and feeling anxious and this sense of hopelessness that it's just not going to end. It's just never going to go away. It's never going to get any better than this. And we get tempted to grieve a future that has not even happened yet. Do you catch? That's really what fear is. Fear is grieving a future that hasn't happened yet. You've already determined that that's what's going to happen. You've already said no to God and yes to doubt and fear, and you're beginning to grieve a future that hasn't even happened. And probably when we hear it like that, we might go, well, that's pretty insane. Why would I do that? I know, right? But that's exactly what we do when we allow fear to have the upper hand in our lives. We grieve something that hasn't even come to pass. And then we can become paralyzed in our faith journey because we've already decided God can't handle this, right? And it really doesn't need to be that way. Why? I love it because in this story, what's in the middle of the river with them when they cross over? The Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, it's the Ark of the Covenant. You guys are awesome. And so it's right there in the midst. And you know what that is to tell the people of Israel? Is to tell them that God's with them there. His presence is bringing to pass the miracle they need in order to move forward. It's not in themselves. It's the presence of God's power that's bringing to pass what he desires. I came up with this statement I want to share with us today. Can we throw that up on the screen? I think it's so true, and I think we find this in this story. It's, we fail by fear, but flourish by faith. We fail by fear, but flourish by faith. You can quote that and use that. I'm fine with that. The royalties are pretty cheap, so it's okay. You get the fail by fear, don't you? And often we forget the second half of that. But the second half is more powerful than the first. Because the second half is grounded in God. It's grounded in the cross of Jesus Christ, right? That we flourish when we trust in God to do what we think can't be done. When we trust in God to make a way when there seems to be no way. That's where we begin to experience the flourishing by faith. Now, does that mean that God's going to answer every single prayer and that you're going to be healed from cancer, that God is going to make your marriage 100% rock solid, what it used to be or whatever? No, I'm not saying that. But that God can remove the barriers so that you can walk into a place with him where your hope is renewed, where your peace is stronger. Because you recognize he's with you as you're going through that. My story is not, for me, a great story because God, brought us here. I mean, that it really is really cool. But it's a great story because God showed me that he's faithful. And you see, I needed to learn in my story that God does have a hand in what's happening in this world and in our lives. Because you see, I had begun to wonder how much sovereignty God really applies in this world. How much providence, how much is God actually orchestrating and moving right in this world? How much is really happening? Because listen to this, when you're sitting in a place you don't want to be in, it's really easy to start to wonder whether or not God's really in control. Because you see, if he's in control, then I wouldn't be sitting here for 4 years waiting on God to do something so that change would come. That's a hard place to sit. But I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And that's why I think this story is so relevant for us as a church. God didn't consult you on how he wanted to encourage you to move forward, right? I mean, God didn't consult you. I'm going to be careful how I say this. God did not ask you how you would like to be prompted to move forward as a church. It just happened, didn't it? God didn't ask me if I wanted to go through conflict and all the emotional turmoil that I went through as an opportunity to walk into a new chapter of my life and ministry with him. Do you notice I'm trying very careful not to say that God chose for that to happen? He chose for me to suffer. So I'm trying to be careful that I don't go there. God utilized an opportunity in my life as I responded by faith in that moment to dry up the ground so that as I took that step of faith, I could keep on going. But I had to respond by faith. And I was finishing up getting ready for this week, and I went back to the cross. It didn't look this pretty earlier this week. It was just plain wood. You'll notice I probably will do this a lot, is to come to the cross. And I thought of the cross, and it hit me that Israel's story and my story and your story that I've just shared with you is repeated in the cross. Watch this. God created each of us with the intent that we would live a life in relationship with Him and enjoy the blessings of that life in covenant with Him, right? But there's a barrier, sin. Sin keeps everybody away from the full blessings of that life. And God said, I got a solution. I'm going to send my Son into the world to die for the sins of humanity so that if they will choose to respond and believe by faith that His death and His resurrection has forgiven their sins and conquered death so that they have forgiveness and eternal life in Him, I'll bless them with salvation. And I will grow them up by my Spirit to reflect the character of Christ in this world. And they will know the blessings of this life in this living. Okay? You see how they all run together? Isn't it beautiful? It's almost like God knew what He was doing. I'm still learning this whole sovereign providence thing, right? So it's a work in process. God opens new chapters in our lives. He does. But He's connected with that an inseparable truth that we have to say, God, I trust You and I choose to take a step of faith. I believe in the power of the cross. I believe in the work of Christ. I believe that You are working for the good of me because I love You. Romans 8:28, God works for the good of those who love Him. All are called according to His purpose. I believe that God, because He loves me, He's working for my good. And even though my heart is hurting because I'm going through conflict, God's not done. God can work through this, and in fact, He desires to work through this. He wants to utilize this to help me trust Him more. He's got this. He can handle this. It's okay. Because He's God. Right? So I look at you, and I look at us, which is still really cool, and I say, you know what? I think we're at a place where we've got to do the same thing that Israel did. God's been removing barriers, opening up an opportunity for a new chapter. He's with us. His presence is there. He's inviting us to take steps of faith across the river on dry ground and inherit the promises that He's planned for us. It's just now our turn to say, okay, Lord, let's go. And we just keep going. And we just keep going. But the same thing for you and your home, okay? You've got things that you're worrying about, you're struggling with, that you don't have answers for. I mean, that's just life, right? I get it. We go through the same stuff. I'm not saying this is easy, but I want us to hear that this message that says God opens new chapters is just as relevant today as it was when Israel, thousands of years ago, walked through the Jordan on dry ground. The principle hasn't changed. It's just the scenery has. And I want you to remember that we will fail by fear, but my friends, my gosh, we flourish by faith. And so let's just go flourish. By faith, let's just go, okay? That's it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. I'm tired. I love it. God is good. Let me pray for us this morning, okay? God, Your word is amazing. man, you bless us through your word, the truths and the promises and the hope that you said, I want you to have, that we can't have from the world. We can only have it from you. You give us a hope and a peace the world doesn't give. And yet you said it's connected to us walking by faith. And so help us at home and help us at work and on the ball fields and here at church and ministries and whatever we're doing, to just walk by faith that there's no barrier you can't break. That's the promise of the cross. And help us find ways, God, to please tell that message that indeed you're a God who breaks barriers and opens new chapters in our lives when we choose to trust you by faith and walk forward. And so help us to hold that in our hearts and in our minds and on our lips. And may it be the praise of our faith for your glory. Amen.